Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone. We're gonna stir it up and do things our way. So if you wanna move, get out of our way.
We're all back together again.
Hi guys. I've actually been here the whole time. You just didn't let me talk.
We kept you in the waiting room.
No, actually, the truth is I've actually been gone because I was on a very successful and critically reviewed I was playing Velma Kelly in Chicago on Broadway, opposite Ariana. Did I say Adriana? God, I almost said Adriana. I don't know Bravo stars. I'm sorry.
Well, I thought where you were going with that was actually the perfect setup for this episode, because I was going to be like, that's some seasons later. I thought you were talking about Erica Girardi.
Her too. Which? Well, the role of Roxy Hart, famously stunt casted, always. Velma Kelly, on the other hand, those are the real theater stars. That's why I got that role.
We haven't hit theater yet, because where we're going is the greatest show on earth. Who needs theater? Who needs movies? This was a cinematic masterpiece that still all these years later shocks audiences. Just, it deserves the EGOT. I mean,
the whole show or the episode?
Well, basically the whole show, but I mean, we're going back to the season that changed Bravo, the episodes that changed Bravo. If you guys can't figure it out, Real Housewives season one.
Beverly Hills. Oh.
Real Housewives, we're taking you back to Beverly Park. Yeah. Season one, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
We're taking you back to the original Rich Bitches. Like, here we go. This isn't Kodo. This isn't like, no, these are some rich ladies.
It wasn't the same without my alliterative Georgia Peach, but it was okay. I was fine with it. Love you, sir.
I have to say, because I will shank someone over this. I know New Jersey has their psycho fans. I love Beverly Hills, in particular these early seasons, so much. It really changed the game for Bravo. No other people. I know people like to fight. They had that once at a Bravo con where Vicky and Ramona faced off over which franchise was more important, which one put Housewives on the map. Orange County, obviously the OGs, but they were more of like an upper middle class suburban existence. It was kind of relatable. Lori was in a townhouse, a single mom. You know, Vicky's house, very big, but I mean, it was like a couple million, 2-3 million, whatever. Whatever. No. And then Ramona argued New York, because New York did raise the bar at the time. Mm-hmm. They were Upper East Side and the Hamptons. But you have to remember, they weren't true New York. So they were fake socialites. They didn't live on Park Avenue or Fifth Avenue in the buildings you have to be accepted into. They lived in they were wealthy.
I mean, even Luann, who we love, you know, she was a lower level French countess, if you want to say that. Like, she wasn't like an upper echelon French countess in the social milieu of Manhattan.
Yeah. These people were well off, but they were not where we, and then Oh God, I was tingling rewatching this. So we're starting, obviously, this rewatch of season one of Beverly Hills.
I really hope you kept your clothes on the entire time watching episode one, because like that could just be. Are you wearing pants right now? Please.
Hashtag Jeffrey Tubim.
Oh, but, wow. Nice callback.
But, I mean, season one, let's just get into it. I mean, please. Let's begin. What I'm trying to say is where it raises the bar. First moments, it opens the gates to Beverly Park. Mm-hmm. This is an area, I do have to tell you, I looked it up just to like, so you guys can understand, even though I say it all the time. But Lisa and Adrian's homes in Beverly Park, which is where this show begins. The home between theirs, which is in similar size, they're on a cul-de-sac, you know, they lived across and there was one in between. Those homes go for $40 to $50 million now. Even to this day, maybe occasionally on Miami, you see something like that. But in homes today, there's still not a franchise that competes with that level of grandeur. That's what it was, grandeur.
Is that LVP the house she still has? Because I only know it from Vanderpump. Okay, it's different.
She sold it. She sold it a few seasons in, and then she moved to her current house, which she gutted, expanded, and stamped with her signature style.
It was jarring for me to go from watching season 13 without having seen anything before it, then going back to season one. So I don't know the things that, you know, match up, like whose homes are still there. Well, hell, the cast. The first 30 minutes was introducing the cast. And I knew half of them just from other shows.
I was going to say, did you know just their names? Because even their faces have changed over time.
Well, no, honestly, Kyle's. But the thing that I noticed is the women's faces didn't change as much as the men's. Like Ken and Mauricio look a lot older now. Kyle, you could tell. LVP looks kind of the same.
LVP looks younger. I mean, everybody is younger, but she looks less. She's very filled and Botoxed now. Like she's almost got too much filler, I feel like, in her face now. Like her face like had way more expression. And I get like aging and everything like that, but I was just like fresh. That's what her face looked like back in the original ones. Like fresh is what I'm gonna say. Mm-hmm. 'Cause now it almost kind of looks like old and she's got always has when she's doing VPR. She's always like, she makes them put a filter on her all the time. Mm. And you're like, but you know, okay, fine, whatever. You still got your, I mean, and her house, her now house, Villa Rosa, is like, because I kind of look at that I go, oh no, Villa Rosa is like your style, because the house that she was in Beverly, in across the street from Adrian Maloof, because she's still in Beverly Park, right?
No, she's in a community called Oak Pass. Oh, okay. It's a gated community up the canyon. Big homes, but it's still not. It was hard to call it a downgrade, but her house now is probably like 25 mil. Mm-hmm. And the one in Beverly Park today would be like 35, 45. Okay.
But I still like that house, Villa Rosa, like the view from it, from the back, like the way they terrace the back is just insane. You're just like, oh, whoa, just that view alone. Anyway, besides the point. But yeah, so well, really the only current member that was on the original cast is Kyle. Kyle's the only one. She's the only one who's still there. Yep. Yeah, she's the only one.
What tripped me out too, Portia was 1 year old. We literally watched her grow up.
I didn't get to see her grow up, but yeah, I've seen the newer, you know, the newest, and to see them that old and then that young is wild.
Yeah.
Right now she's driving a Porsche. She has her license.
Oh my gosh.
Little baby Portia.
I mean, speaking of houses, real quick, I texted this in the group that I know that's Kyle's house in episode one, but it doesn't feel like Kyle's house. Like it just doesn't feel like Kyle. Like it's very 2010. It's very like late aughts, early teens, like 2000s, the styling of it, the paint of it, like even the landscaping, but it just doesn't. And it's almost like too contemporary in my opinion for Kyle. So it just felt like a house that they owned, but they it wasn't their forever home, if that makes sense. Like both of the homes in Encino that they've owned, those felt more like her house, if that, and her style, if that makes sense.
Oh, wait, no, the current ones in Encino, this was their starter home, because original, when they got married,
they've had several homes, but I'm saying since we've seen them on the show, they moved from this home to the home that was up in the hills.
That was in Bel Air too.
Right. So they had that home, and then they bought the home in Encino. But those are of a similar style, kind of almost like a post-colonial style. But the one in Encino is huge.
Well, where I'm going with it is this was actually their starter, because things have changed so much. And that's why I like looking back, because their lives have changed. And this was their in real life, their starter home. Before when Mauricio and Kyle first got married, and had little Farah was from, but when they started their family, they lived with their mother, Big Kathy. And this was a home, that house you see there was like their starter home. And it was like,
so it was their starter home. I thought you were saying it wasn't their starter home.
Oh, no. I was saying it was. It was like it was a big deal for them. I mean, it was up on towards Mulholland and like not the Kathy part of Bel Air, but it was still technically Bel Air and it meant so much to them. This was when, technically, when this show started, I mean, we later on will discover not everyone has the money we thought. It's kind of crazy. Kyle was basically Kim too. They were the poorest ones on the show outwardly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Look at the way Mauricio was dressing. He was like in a t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah.
Did the agency, was that pre-agency? Was he still at Hilton mm-hmm. Highland back then?
He was at the time, he was the top realtor at Hilton and Highland. Okay. And he was known as basically the king of Beverly Park, which is how Kyle became connected to people like LVP and Adrian, because he was the realtor who handled all the sales there. And so he met the owners and knew them. And that was how this group kind of came together. They didn't know each other for decades. As you see, like Taylor trying to fit in with these people.
I had to do a flow chart of what the relationships were, because they did explain each one. Like Adrian and Taylor being friends, LVP and Kyle being friends, Adrian and Camille being former neighbors. And then LVP and Adrian being current neighbors. It was like, it was like a Pepe Silvia situation where I was putting string on the wall, trying to figure out who's who.
I was dying at that one part. Cause the thing that caught my eye, I like tried to take notes on these, was each housewife, their intro line, the first thing you hear from them, not even the tagline necessarily, but their first scene, what they say. And with Taylor, it's something they, as you watch, you'll learn was a bit delusional. She says, Adrian's the godmother of my daughter, Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Adrian was not the godmother of her daughter.
Because also, like the scene before that, Adrian said that her kids went to school with Taylor's daughter. And I was like, well, then how did, and that's how she knew her. I was like, well, then how is she her goddaughter? That doesn't sound right at all.
No, it wasn't. That was Taylor kind of stretching it, trying to really make herself sound. Like Taylor's life, she's written a book and has come clean about some of it. But she came to town basically looking to become what she seemed like on TV. So, I mean, she was really, we know now Russell and Taylor's house was Elise, and, you know, we'll get into that as the season unfolds. I don't want to spoil it all now, but I'm going to start just saying I'm part of people's families too.
Well, you've already been saying that with trying to put yourself into the Hilton's pictures. So
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
When you need to work quickly and confidently, you need Grammarly. It's a trusted AI writing partner that helps you get work done faster with better writing. And it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly, easier said, done.
It was sad that Taylor, she just kept going on and on about how she was trying so much to not get left by her husband. And then, of course, even I know what happens to the husband. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she was just deathly. I mean, she's getting filler. She's doing all this because she's just terrified of being left, which is just really sad.
Well, also when she's, I remember thinking this at the time when watching it originally. And she was like, my husband's a very masculine man. Going, what? Like looking at him and going like, excuse me? But then knowing in retrospect, it's been 14 years. There's no spoilers after 14 years. Knowing now that he used to beat the shit out of her, I go, okay, now I know where that line came from. Because otherwise, like, I wouldn't call that man a masculine man. I still wouldn't call him a masculine man. For any man who beats up a woman or beats up anybody is not a masculine man to me. But now I understand the context of it. Because at first I was like, he doesn't look like a cowboy. He doesn't look like he lifts weights regularly. I was like, this is not a masculine man to me.
I was trying to figure out exactly when the spoiler alert, you know, he passes. Trying to figure out how long from like this aired in 2010, October of 2010. So I assume they filmed it in the spring of 2010, I assume. And then he died a year later, August of 2011. So I was trying to do the math and I just came across an article that just listed all his arrests from like the 80s on. And yeah, he had some horrible shit, child abuse was involved. Mm-hmm. Domestic abuse. I was like, oh, this guy sucks.
He was absolutely horrific. And what? So like her fear is not just a fear of him leaving her. It's so weird that's what she talks about is her fear of him leaving her, but it's almost like her fear of him killing her. Do you know what I mean? It's like she's afraid of dying from him, but she masks it as a fear of him leaving her. Like, that would be worse. Do you know what I mean? It's like a placeholder.
There is also some controversy about how much production knew what was going on as far as the abuse. Brandy, in a recent tweet, Brandy Glanville said production knew all along and they looked the other way. She's talking about the way she's being persecuted and, you know, her version versus what they've looked the other way about. And then, of course, I don't want to spoil. It's like we're gonna spoil the whole season in one episode. It doesn't be like, and then we know, of course, the next season when Camille comes out and says, "We've kept quiet long enough. Now we said it." So,
I'll just put a blanket on it, or put a blanket on it for the moment. It's like those situations are so hard to navigate, in like, you know. There's the right thing, and sometimes the right thing can actually put the person in more danger. So you have to be very careful of like untying that knot of domestic violence and how you help that person. So it's very easy sometimes to say they should have done this or they should have done that, but you don't know the entire situation at the time of like what production was trying to do or what the other housewives were trying to do. And if you make it too public, then he could go off the deep end. Like we could not just be talking about later on Russell's suicide. We could be talking about a murder suicide. Do you know what I mean? Like we could be talking about that if things had gone differently. So I think it's very easy in that situation to Monday morning quarterback it, as opposed to just go, this show, Beverly Hills is the pinnacle, is the diamond of housewives. But it also became kind of the standard bearer of like, hey, this shit gets really dark. And this is the reality TV is dark, and reality of rich people's lives are dark too. So kind of bringing that all together, my opinion. But let's talk more about this episode one, because it's old school too, of this is how we set up getting to know everybody. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And in that old school, like, you know, early Housewives way of like how we get to know everybody.
I have a little fun fact about this one too, because it introduces Lisa Vanderpump with Cedric, mm-hmm. her houseboy, her housemate. And you know, like, you know, now I know a lot of these people, and I'm like, I didn't know them back then. It kind of grew with the show until I tweeted my way into their lives. But fun fact about Cedric is that when LVP tried out for the show during the screening and casting for the show, Cedric was with her and they liked him. They thought they made a good dynamic. She had already had a bit of, by the time they called her and said, we want you on the show, cameras up, Cedric was already gone. They had had a falling out and she had moved out from the house. He had moved out from her mansion. She wanted to be on that show and she went back and got him. So
what? And moved him back in?
Yes.
That was so much shade from production that his opening Chiron was permanent house guest.
Mm-hmm. which is something to say, is obviously LVP went on to become one of the biggest housewives of all time. But at the time, she was just one of many. This was one of the most, the casting process, so many people wanted. Other people in that community wanted it, including Sumner Redstone's, the girlfriend who took control of his estate and ended up in court, Manuela Herzer. She was a final cut runner. I mean, they had so many like billionaires' wives and things like that, that Vanderpump needed something like Cedric to stand out from the rest. Mm-hmm. But that was for show. He had already moved out and she needed him. Production wanted him.
That's interesting. That's interesting for like later seasons and mm-hmm. all the stuff that ends up happening with him, which we'll get into later. But oh my goodness. Well, I thought it was seeing Kim and moving. Again, because like how many times over the years have we seen Kim move and move and move? Like this was basically foreshadowing, like this is Kim's life. She moves every so often and like it makes it difficult. And then watching, of course, younger sister Kyle be older sister Kyle, to be honest with you. And I 100% forgot that Kim in the first episode said, maybe I'll have another baby. Cause I only think about it in context of that gross guy that she dated. I feel like it was like season 3 or 4. And she was like, I think I might be pregnant. But she was drunk and it was some party at Sir or whatever. And she locked herself in the bathroom and then with him and he was horrible. He was so gross too. But and she was like, I think I might be pregnant. And Kyle just like lost her shit. But the fact that like she keeps wanting to have babies, I just forgot that this happened even in episode 1, that it's just like she thinks the answer to her prayers is having another child. Actually, both of the Richard sisters think that having another child. But I mean, but not so much Kyle, though. I mean, Kyle was in that Portia was her last one. She was, you know, whatever. So hers are spaced out and whatever. But
I was trying to keep track of how many times Kyle and Kim mentioned that they were a child actress. I just lost count after a while. Hell of a drinking game it would make. You'd be gone by 30 minutes. They brought it up a lot. And I loved Kim's delusional when she was talking about her niece Paris and how they'd be coming out of restaurants and the paparazzi would yell to Paris, Paris, your aunt is an icon. That did not happen in the late aughts, 2010. There was no way in hell any paparazzo yelled, Kim Richards, you're an icon. Maybe in the late, early 80s, maybe? Maybe.
I mean, like the way I was so excited when this came out, because obviously I've been a fan of like Paris and all that forever. So then when this show came out, I was like, oh my God, like I knew it was coming up. And I was like, and the only one I only knew of Kyle literally doing interviews. I didn't even know her name. Her name was always Paris Hilton's aunt. You'd see her on E! True Hollywood Story, news segments from like The Simple Life. That's all I knew her as. I don't think outside Mr. Chow, they were screaming, Kim Richards, mm-hmm. out of the way, Paris. Those are delusions, which is cute.
I was sad to see, I don't know if she just hadn't developed the style yet, but she wasn't wearing her scarves that she hides things in. I don't hope maybe that's a later season.
It actually is just like a season 16 or 17 or like 13 thing. It was like, that's just very recent. And I think honestly, it's because of neck aging, you know, it's a Nora Ephron thing. So
right now she's trying to live like a more holistic life and avoid like injections and surgery. So I think it is like her way of like, you know, like you said, Diane Keatoning it or whatever.
I will say, like, seeing her, I miss her old nose. Like, I love that. I think also because even though she and Kyle are like an older generation, but I did watch the Witch Mountain movies as a small child, and I do remember seeing Kim Richards. I knew of Kim Richards growing up. She was an 80s star. She was a 70s and 80s star. And I knew that as a small child. And I knew Kyle from Little House on the Prairie, and a couple of other things. So I knew these Richards sisters, and not so much Halloween, because I'm not a horror movie fan, but Kim was just so recognizable, to be honest with you, in so many ways. And so like when she got her nose done a few years ago, that's a personal choice. And so I'm not knocking her personal choice to have her nose done. I will just say, like, there's a part of me that's just like, oh, that there's a different Kim Richards there. You know what I mean? It's just like, but whatever, somebody like you do you, boo. I just was like, oh, there's Kim. Anyway,
well, something with Kim and Kyle that I was watching this back to, because now we know all the things to come. But like there were some like key statements. And like I said, I paid attention to their first intro lines, how they introduced themselves to the camera. And something we get from both Kim and Kyle that's heavy in this first episode that would haunt this show for the rest of its existence. They immediately talk about Big Kathy. Mm-hmm. Kathy, too, their sister. They mention my older sister is Kathy Hilton. But the mother from the jump, it's always about what they promised their mother. This is how our mothers raised us. And Kim said, Kim's first line is basically, my mother gave me advice to not make my children my whole life the way she did, because they'll grow. And from there, it's set the mother is such a powerhouse. She had already been gone at the, you know, passed away. And episode one, it like really set the tone. We didn't know at the time. We won't know till the end of the season where that's heading, but it still haunts the show to this day.
You know what I find interesting too, and maybe this is just my observation, is that because Big Kathy, she made her children her life, but she was pushing her children, her daughters, in a certain direction to do certain things, to have certain careers, to marry certain men, to like achieve certain statuses, and maybe it's because we just don't hear from Kim's kids that much because they're not on the show or whatever, but Kim, it seems to be kind of the opposite of like, Kim has made her children her world and wants to keep them close. And it's kind of the opposite of like, she's made her children her world, but in a codependent kind of way, of a way to keep Kim okay, to make sure Kim is all right. Is that making sense?
A lot of parenting going on, emotional parenting from the kids to the mother.
Exactly. And we know why now too, because Well, and speaking of that, why is that when they go to Sacramento to the Kings game, because Adrian Maloof has invited them all up there because, you know, she and her family own an NBA team. They own casinos. I didn't know they owned a skateboarding company. I was like, what?
Yeah. They own a lot of stuff. And the root of the Maloof money, though, which she doesn't mention all, it's brewing. New Mexico. They own, it's either beer or Coca-Cola. I have to look that up. They have the brewing rights to the Southwest region based in New Mexico for a major, I don't know if it's Bud Light, if it's Coca-Cola, something like that. That's where the money comes from.
Do they help them buy the team in the casino? Do they still own the casino? Like I know that they sold the Kings like just a few seasons. They sold in 2013, so they haven't owned the Kings in quite a while. And I remember at the time when they were having financial issues, the family had to decide: are we keeping the Palms or are we keeping the Kings? And they decided to get rid of the Kings. But I didn't know today if they still own the hotel.
I'm not sure. They only it's going to come out in a later season. They didn't own the whole hotel. They were investors. They owned a share, a small percentage. They were like minor partners in the Palms.
Gotcha.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you need to work quickly and confidently, you need Grammarly. It's a trusted AI writing partner that helps you get work done faster with better writing. And it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly, easier said, done.
Going back to the Kings game, the whole trip, you know, there's a whole thing of basically Kim acting weird the entire time, for lack of a better term, just acting weird and not connecting. And our whole thing is like, you know, I was a child star. I didn't play around with like people my age. And I guess I get it. Like I wasn't a child star, so I don't know how that was or whatever, but something always seemed a little like out of that to me. And she somehow, like, she immediately started picking on Taylor, that Taylor was the one, you know, ignoring her or whatever, which just seemed, it was like, well, Kim, stand up for your fucking self. Like, you're a grown woman. Like, you're teaching your children here how to like live their lives and like stand up for themselves. But now, yes, hindsight being 2020, us now knowing that she was an alcoholic, it's like, well, yeah, like A, you probably wanted a drink, but also B, me also having an alcoholic in my family, that person is relatively non-communicative when they're not. When they don't have alcohol in themselves, like they do not, they're awkward in social situations and family situations and whatever. But as soon as you get a drink in them, life of the fucking party, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I saw that, like, knowing what I know now, and I just was like, there you go right there. It's like, once you know, you see it. The veil's lifted.
Yeah. And it was tense going in like this first episode. That awkwardness isn't, like you said, it's not just being on camera new to this. She was the kind of drinker. It wasn't like, oh, she'd go out, you know, like housewives, you see a couple glasses too many at dinner. She was, at the time, even within the family, like her sister, you can see how tense her sister is kind of watching her. It was supposed to be a secret. And second of all, she wasn't like, oh, too much wine by the pool. She was a hidden bottle in her purse, a hidden bottle in the closet, a hidden bottle under the sink. So I was watching her on the court side of the game, and she's just kind of staring off and very tense. You know what she's doing is looking for her next moment. Like, maybe she could sneak into the bathroom and take a swig. She was that kind of a drinker. It wasn't Sonia or Luann, too many. This was like secret swigs. Her sister was keeping an eye on her. You can feel that tension. You just don't know why yet. But that's why I could read her mind. I've been there. I was like, she is looking for her next drink. She's thinking, she's like, yeah, count. She was probably watching the play clock, not for the game, but to see when she could go back to a stall and take a Magical times.
I do love the way that they introduced Camille with her like shadow dancing, all sexy. And
I was like, she's always been a dancer.
She's always been a dancer.
Camille Donatacci, grammar.
Gotta love her. Oh my gosh. Oh,
I don't. She's been very mean to me. Back when I worked, back when I worked at Entertainment Tonight on the Paramount lot, Frasier filmed next to us, the state, one stage over. Every day, Kelsey Grammer would pull up, and I swear, this could be like a Mandela effect where I remember it differently, but I swear he showed up in a different car every single day.
And probably, he was that rich.
Yeah, and you know, we were all in our early 20s, so we're admiring the cars, and he was very nice. She was mean for no reason. No reason at all. And the kids were really young. I remember her pushing strollers around. So I don't know exactly how old the kids were, but they were, so not a nice person. I mean, she might be delightful to other people, but she was not to me.
No. Don't worry. It wasn't. I don't think she, I admire her, but not for any nice qualities. I think she, she's my prime example of how terrible people make amazing housewives.
Yeah. And we love her because she's so horrible.
Okay.
Basically.
She really is. Yeah. You're not going to watch, you're not going to continue watching this show and be like, oh, I was wrong. She's a sweetheart. No, it's, she keeps raising the stakes.
You'll want to feel bad for her when she finds out that Kelsey's cheating on her. And then she'll say stuff and you'll go, well, I can't believe that just came out of your mouth. Like, and you think that that's okay to say in public on television.
By the way, can we talk about that? Kelsey Grammer, his first line, I like was so excited. Because on here we use it a lot. I use it as a verb to Kelsey Grammer someone. Another thing he set the bar for, a trend that goes through Housewives to this day. He set her, as we'll see, but I mean, it's been out there 14 years, we know. He put her on the show to set her up to leave her. Like, and the way his first line to the camera and his little confessional is, I've spent 13 years married to Camille. I've spent 13 years.
Yeah, warranty's almost up.
That is exactly.
About to trade her in for a newer, younger model.
I honestly didn't know that Kelsey Grammer was ever on it. I just assumed he wasn't, because why would Kelsey Grammer do that? But I mean, obviously they did it to introduce him. He must have hated that, because what little he shot, he probably hated reality. Like the when he leaves, I was shocked when she's like, yeah, he normally leaves for 2 weeks. Now he's leaving for a year. And he does the shot where he's driving away in the Range Rover waving. And he probably had to shoot that 5 or 6 times and was like, fuck this. I'm never doing this show again.
Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, he was already leaving her. I mean, he had already had the mistress and she was in New York. So, I mean, Camille doesn't know it at this point or fully accept it, but he was waving goodbye. You're not going to see much of him. You'll see a really tense episode later this season we'll get into, but I caught that as his first words. I've spent 13 years married to Camille. That wasn't very warm. Spent sounds a little cold and transactional, a little laced with regret and frustration. I loved it.
Caught my attention is the way he interacted with the kids, like when he first walked in the room. I don't remember. Is it two girls, a son and a daughter? I can't remember off the top of my head.
A boy and a girl.
It was the boy. He walked up to the boy and said, good to see you. What kind of father says that? That's like some informal thing that you say to like somebody you work with. That's good to see you. And Camille was the same way. She was asking I love the four rotating nannies. She was asking them everything about the kids, like she's never seen the kids.
That was a big deal when this aired. Again, raising the bar on Housewives, the four nanny thing was like in headlines and posts. People couldn't believe it. She had four nannies for two kids, and that was something they hadn't seen before.
It felt like a sister wives thing, the nanny one, nanny two, nanny three, nanny four.
Right.
I wish I wrote down their first names, but sadly there weren't last. I'd love to see where they are now. I would love to see where Serena, Allison, Ashton, and Michelle are. And I didn't get them in order. I'm sorry. I don't remember which one's nanny 1, 2, 3, or 4. But those people have stories to tell.
I wonder if their NDAs are still in effect.
I know.
Oh, man. Because if we could get them on the podcast, that would be golden. Oh, man. Yeah.
I wish I looked. I was like, is there any? Because we'll see. I don't want to give away too much, like jump episodes, but there are other friends of Camille's. The people in Camille's life this season are still memed, gifed.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have the dinner party from hell, which is just iconic. You already know about it. Nate. So yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like it's just amazing. And I'm sure both Alison Dubois and Camille Grammer were just sitting back laughing this year earlier when Kyle announced that she was separating from Mauricio, just giggling. But
do we know if, like, I know both kids were born via surrogacy, the production sort of implied it was by choice. Like surrogacy is an amazing thing, like for people with medical issues who can't conceive. But the way the other cast members sort of rolled their eyes when she meant, like, surrogacy came up, like, did she just do it because she did not want to do that to her body? I don't know that. Like, I'm just asking. Like, is it ever?
That's what's implied there. That's what
it's very much implied, but I didn't know if that was true.
That's what's implied there. But then from what I remember, what came out later on is that she was infertile, that she could not carry a child to term. And that became a big thing between her and some of the women, of that they implied that, oh, she didn't want to carry a child. She didn't want to ruin her figure, all of that stuff. And she was very hurt by that because the fact was that she could not carry her children. But at the same time, I will say this, the way she said it was, she was like, well, I used a surrogate. It wasn't like, well, I had to use a surrogate or we used surrogacy. It cuts both ways, because you don't necessarily always want to, like, talk about your private medical issues. But if you set it up a certain way, then it can sound bad. It can sound like, oh, well, it was just my choice. We just wanted to use a surrogate. I didn't want to, like, carry my children, as opposed to, I wanted to carry my children, but I was infertile, but I don't feel like talking about it on camera. So it kind of goes both ways. But from what I remember, people could correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe that she could not carry her children herself.
Well,
it's just certainly implied otherwise. Just if you look at this episode in a vacuum and you don't, like me, you don't really know the future, especially with Camille, it's definitely implied that she did it by choice.
And it's an issue that comes up in later seasons because, well, Camille was so open and casual about it, sitting there with Adrian. Adrian had used surrogates too, and she never admitted it until Brandy blurted it out on camera a few seasons later, and that's when Adrian quit. But you had that where Camille was just so open about it, it becomes a huge issue, and surrogacy ends up leading to Adrian quitting the show. But that's for another day. God, I feel like we could go on for hours and just spoil this season, but we really want to keep it going because I haven't watched this in years. So I'm rediscovering things through a new lens too. And I have, like, all these things. I'm like, lie, I know that. So I guess we should just try to, well.
Yep. Oh, we should remind people before we even move on that, not even remind people, tell people, because they may not know now. We're on YouTube now. We are putting our episodes up on YouTube. So you can see our gorgeous punums up on your screen. Like, whether that's on your phone or on your laptop, or if you've got YouTube on your television, you can watch us there now.
Just wait until we embarrass Jordan. He turns very red. It's going to be quality video.
I can't wait to talk about some, like, you know, nether region stuff and make him, like, go with through something. Look at him right now, even.
By the end of this season, you'll get to track our faces changing much like Kyle's over the past decade plus. And you know, else you could help us make it into Beverly Park, which, by the way, all my Beverly Hills shenanery. I still have not. That's a made up. I made that word up. Shenanery. Shenanigans.
I like it.
Anyways, I still have not been into Beverly Park, and we need help with that. The best way to make it happen: rate, review, subscribe, and follow Pretty Corrupt Podcast. We are on Instagram and TikTok at Pretty Corrupt Podcast and Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One. Of course, you can find us linked on those accounts to our personals, Stacey's, Nate's, and mine. And who wants to say what would be a good word? We didn't have Dury yet. So no chow. What do they say in England? Vanderpump's as exotic as it gets.
Toodaloo.
Top of the morning.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Cheers is a good one. Yes, absolutely. Cheers.
Cheers is definitely a good one.
Yeah.
Adios.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.